Can you hear the music?
Oh yeah, I got you, dude. You've got the best music in podcasts. I'm just gonna let you know.
Oh shit. Kind of turns me on a little bit.
I like it, dude. It definitely gets you pumping and going, man.
Fuck yeah.
I like it. Nobody can see you, sweetheart. Gotcha.
I just want to make sure you look so long.
Yeah. Hi, Mrs. McGaha.
Hi.
We just got back.
Quiet.
She's packing sticker orders as we're going.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjan Boychuk for that incredible intro outro music. And as always, you can find him on the socials, you know, over here on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Find him everywhere. And on today's episode, we have a very special guest, the first reoccurring guest, actually, on the Throne podcast history, Mr. Grayson McGaha, coming in for a very special episode 69. And we're calling it Duke and Dine.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. So, like, I'm a twofer. Like,
you're a twofer.
I'm the first twofer. I like it.
It's
a privilege and an honor to be on the throne with Dick for my second time. That's a twofer. Normally, you're a hit it and quit it kind of podcast guy, dude.
I'm a hit it and quit it kind of guy. But, you know, I enjoyed the way your gummers. I enjoyed your gummers. I enjoyed the way you kiss so gently.
I know.
It's beautiful. So I figured, let's get Grayson McGaha back for another episode. And we'll go live this time. Show the whole world, or two people so far. If they want to watch our live bukkake show, I guess.
You know, normally you got to pay extra for that. But this is... You know, this is free, so, like,
yeah,
it's worth it, dude. Normally, you pay extra for that kind of action, but, dude, let me just start. I'm so proud of you, dude. I can't believe we're at episode 69. Like, I know we're gonna make a whole bunch of puns and a whole bunch of jokes this whole entire episode, but, dude,
sure are.
I'm proud of you. You're at the 69 episode. You've been rocking and rolling. You've had some really awesome guests, and just like super. As your friend, dude, like, it's just really cool to see the growth that it's had and everything like that.
I appreciate that, man. That's huge. And, you know, the last time you were on was 23 weeks ago, 22 weeks ago. So almost 6 months ago, man.
Lots happened in 6 months.
A lot has happened. And, you know, we haven't really got to chat very much in the last, you know, month or two, or since New Year's, really. You know, I've been... really, really, really busy with work and home life. And you've been really busy, you know, with work and home life and your new venture you're having on, have on the go here. You're finding your groove. You know, you just got back from an adventure. So, you know, we're definitely going to talk about that, how life's changed for you since we last talked, man. Because you said you're proud of me, bud. You're the one who, like, went all in. You went all in with the chips. You put all the cards down on the table. You were able to walk away from your job to pursue this full time. And
yeah,
you're crushing it, man.
Well, I appreciate your vote of confidence in me. Crushing it sounds is very generous. We have become successful at something we had no intentions of being successful at in the first place, but it's working out amazingly. And, you know, I think we talked about it last time on the podcast, this idea of doing everything yourself, going for broke, banking on yourself. If you're waiting, you know, if you're one of these people who sit and complain about how the system's failing, but you're not willing to do anything to fix it for yourself, then you're just failing yourself. And truthfully, you know, I think you told me this at the end of the last episode when we were talking about your Mount Rushmore. And it really started, like, to so many people, man. So many people had told me to take my own advice. And so many people are like, well, you know, you talk a good game, but when are you gonna bet on you? And it finally, look, Mrs. McGaha Comedy and a whole bunch of other really good people in my life, my old boss, a lot of guys were like, dude, you gotta go for it. Like, you've got this gift to do, So we did. We started looking at we started looking at merch, and we started looking at what it costs to do merch and what it costs to do stickers and what it costs to do t-shirts. And we were like, man, why are we paying somebody else to do this? Like, I don't have the money to do this. So
yep.
God bless her, because she is a freaking feral, badass, blue-collar, bougie woman who she's not going to take no for an answer. She started making her own, she started making her own stickers. And then that turned into just snowballed into now we've got this huge decal printer and we are busier than we've ever been. And we are like a full-fledged print shop now. Like we do everything here in-house. That's one of those things that a lot of people don't understand is when you go for broke and put all the chips in, like it's all you. It's given me far more of respect for the way things get done. And then, you hear business owners, you hear people like, man, I want to work for myself so that, I can have time with my family. You can either work 40 hours or you can work for yourself. There is no in between. Like yeah. It is a full fledged, I'm doing all of it. You have to handle all of it. Like when you're on the clock for somebody else and shit goes wrong, well, at the end of the day, you're just the employee. When you are writing your own check and things go wrong, well, it's on you. There's nobody to hold accountable but you.
Yep. And I made that video last summer, actually. I made that video, someone said, oh, well, you're just a laborer, you're just a grunt, like your boss or your employer is taking advantage of you, you're a wage slave. And in a way, yeah, but like who's winning here? At the end of the day, when I clock out, right? I go home and my phone's done. I'm done, right? There's nothing going on. I can have dinner with my family. I can relax and enjoy, right? When the end of the day, when the business owner goes home, he's got to keep his mind on what the hell's happening back there. That phone call is ringing or coming in and he's being interrupted. He's got to go take that, he's at a restaurant, phone call comes in. He's got to go stand outside for a couple minutes, yada, yada, yada. It's all on him, right? And, we need people that put all the chips in, and we need people like me as well that, we're not quite there yet.
You're so close. It's really one of those things, man. Like a lot of people, and I get it all the time in comments, and I get it all the time from people who meet me. They're like, oh, so this is what you do social media now. I'm like, no, dude, yeah. I'm a goofball who got lucky on social media, and now I am the goal is to do all of it. I think we talked about the blue collar crew a couple of times, but the goal is to be the person who does the merch for other people so that it's not so hard for everybody.
Yep.
Like coming into it and trying to do merch and realizing there was a market for what you and I talk about, what so many of our friends talk about. Because being on the oil field, I did factory work forever, stickers and stuff like that, dude, that's kind of like our little trading cards, honestly, yep. Right? It's something fun to talk about and something fun to do. And then, so when we started looking at it, I'm like, man, why is it so hard? And hopefully within the, last year was let's bank on us. Hopefully as we continue to grow as a business, it can be one of those things to where I can pass that on to other people and pass my shortcomings and my successes on to other people and go, hey man, look, I did it. It's easy. And we've, Mrs. McGahat Comedy is absolutely amazing. She is, we're always open to talk to people and things like that and try to give the advice. And because I promise there's been a lot more headaches of, man, we couldn't do this. And we tried to do this. And we messed it up. And she's so generous when it comes to giving advice and like, hey, don't do this. Hey, order this. Don't do this. Don't do business with these people. Like it. We've got a friend that we're working with now who, anything that person wants to know, she's so open to, because there's no gatekeeping. It seems like a lot of people in the social media world and even in blue collar world, there's a lot of like this gatekeeping idea that like, I have the information you need, but I'm afraid to tell you because you might take my spot. And if you take my spot, then what am I supposed to do? And man, there's enough opportunities for everybody out here to be successful. Truthfully, there's nothing to gatekeep except for hard work. If you're willing to put the work in, you can be successful doing yourself. But you got to understand, when you work for yourself, it's a completely different situation.
Well, speaking of your merch, buddy, you made this hat, man. Like, look at this. Anybody that's watching, you know, whether we're live, by the way, we're doing the podcast.
Yeah.
We're live streaming the podcast. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. But if anyone's listening afterwards, you know, check, look at this. Look at this patch. Look at the patchwork and whatnot on there. And, you know, he has shirts and stickers too, you know, and like he just does incredible work. And Mrs. Magaha, the engine behind that is like
that's
always firing on all cylinders. It's amazing.
Yes, that is the brain and the backbone of everything we do. Like the feral women stuff, you know, a lot of people have said, like, man, your blue collar stuff has kind of pivoted over to like this feral women, blue collar lady. And we've always talked about the blue collar unicorns, the ladies that are out there working these roughneck jobs. And man, you've had some awesome, awesome guests that prove that,
hell,
you know,
yeah.
this gender, you know, this idea that blue collar work is roughneck guys out there, man, you've had some awesome guests on that have just broke that barrier down to where, you know, the ladies that work in these blue collar roles, they are not these pretty princesses or anything like that. They are the ones that are out there. They put their big girl pants on and they realize bills ain't going to pay themselves. And if you want it, you can go get it, man.
Yep.
You know, that idea that jobs are hard to come by, they are, but there's not enough ladies in the trades. And I absolutely can do nothing but applaud the women that are in the trades.
Amen to that. Well, get ready for a lot more of them, because May is Mother's Day, as you know. Well, Mother's Day is in May, and we've decided at On the Throne podcast that the month of May, there's going to be four episodes. There's four Tuesdays. And you know, the month of May, we're dedicating to the blue collar mothers, the women that, you know, go to work and, you know, like in blue collar industries, and have kids at home as well, you know, and we're going to talk about that side of things, you know, what it's like going out to work and going, you know, as dads, you know, in blue collar, we go away for 12 to 15 hours a day. We're out of the house, right? In my case, I'm gone for weeks at a time, but, you know, to make it work, you know, in town, you got to be gone most of the time. You're gone by the time they wake up and you're home as they're going to bed or just after they go to bed, right? So we're going to be talking, you know, how hard that is for the women who's, you know, for the last 150 years or whatever the hell it's been, for all time, maybe.
Yeah.
Their role, I don't know if I can say role, but like their whole identity has been, you know, being the one home with the kids, you know, their mom's there after school or mom's home for dinner. Mom's there when I get up. Right. And now we're going to dive into, you know, the women that, you know, miss out on their kids' time, like the fathers do. Right. And that the whole month, I've already recorded one episode for that, and I've got a couple more lined up, and just some fucking badass women, dude, that like I've been talking to. One who actually approached me and is like, "Hey, I would like to be on your podcast. I'd like to, you know, contribute to it. This is my story. This is what I've done throughout my life and where it's led me to." And she's like, "And I'm a mother of like three."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "I have the perfect slot for you. You know, like this May is going to be Mother's Day, you know, and well, Mother's Day is every May, but this May, the podcast is going in this direction.
Right.
And would you like to be a part of that?" She's like, "I'm in, sign me up." And I'm like, "Let's go." So we've already got two of the four slots already figured out. So.
Well, and I don't think it's something that enough people talk about. I don't think it's enough. I don't think you can give people in our industry and in the blue collar trades, I don't think you can give the moms and the ladies in those jobs enough credit.
Like, absolutely not.
Not only is she out there throwing down with the boys every day, but she's still a mom. She's still doing a third grade science fair project. She's still making sure that all the babies are loved and feel appreciated. She's balancing her checkbook and her sanity on a regular basis.
Yep.
And she's playing all of those. Again, I don't want to say roles because I know that that is like a very, whatever you want to call it, a very bad way to say it. It's not a role. Nobody is saying that all women are these, you know, housewives, as it were. But we can admit that for the longest time, having a lady in the trades was something that, you know, people kind of looked at a different way most of the time in this industry. And I'm saying most of the time in this industry, you think of blue collar guys out there doing this kind of work. You always think of guys. Like that is not a bad thing to say. It's just the way it has been. It's been the way that it has been portrayed for years. The truth of the matter is it's not that way. And the truth of the matter is there's plenty of women out there that are out there doing it every single day, that are throwing down every single day. And they're not only rocking out on the job site, they're rocking out motherhood. They're rocking out being a wife, or even, you know, this has happened even more, or some jack wagon has no showed to fatherhood. And they realize that the only way that they're going to make those big boy money is by putting those pants on and going out there and doing that job. And, yep. And they are. They're out there working night shift, or they're out there working these crazy jobs in these crazy hours because that's the only way that they can make the money that they want to make to support their family. So I can't give them the flowers that they deserve. So I think that's awesome, dude. I'm looking forward to May then, because the blue collar unicorns, as we like to call them, they are a rare breed, and they are absolutely awesome.
They're an amazing, strong breed who are full of resilience, right?
Yeah.
And it blows my mind, dude. And, you know, May is, like I said, May is half filled already. You know, there's four episodes I got to do. Two of them are already slotted in there with a potential third who is going to be – I don't want to give it away too much. But we're going to, I'll say it, fuck it. She's a stay-at-home mom of a husband who works away, right? And she is an incredible woman herself. There's a lot that she deals with, and that's all I can get into. We're going to talk about it with her episode, but we're going to have all these moms that work away, and then we're going to have the mom who puts in her fair share of work at home while her husband's away, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's going to be, I think we'll end the month that way. Cause like she's an incredible woman. But you know, as I said, you know, we got three out of the four this month, April was hard, man. Like this episode already comes out in 3 days. Usually I like to stay 5-6 weeks ahead. Right. And, but I've been busy. There's five Tuesdays this month. I'm literally like being pulled in all directions at the moment. I didn't know if I was going to have an episode to put out for this Tuesday, right? And I'm sitting there, I'm like, shit, well, if it happens, it happens, right? And then I asked you, and I kind of felt like maybe I was pressuring. I wasn't trying to.
Absolutely. Like, and here's the thing, you know, we've had this conversation, and we've already popped the cherry, if it were. So everybody who knows me, if you want me to go ahead and say it, I am no longer working for a factory. I no longer work in the trades. I work for myself. I'm not on night shift anymore. Now I work for myself and I just work 24 hours a day. but there you go. We pop that cherry. But I mean, truthfully, nobody talks about, and it's the part that, again, I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. But dude, what I miss the most is the camaraderie. I miss the brotherhood. Working for yourself is extremely lonely, because while I absolutely love being here at the house with my wife and everything like that and seeing my kids, you don't have that. Again, everything's on you. So you don't have that away time to where you can do anything else. And your schedule gets so crazy. Like, I'm trying to keep up with guys that were my brothers, guys that when we were underneath cranes and when we were hurting and we were motivating and trying to do all this, guys that I absolutely loved being around, man, their life is completely different than mine. And yep. You know, so I love the fact that you called me and I'm like, yes, let's do it. Cause all I want to do is talk to people again. I'm like, It's great to be able to do a lot of the stuff that I've been able to do. I feel like I'm definitely trying to make up for lost time with my kids, working night shift for 18 years. I know my oldest, there was plenty of birthdays and football games and, you know, school functions that I wasn't able to get to because dad had to sleep or dad had to work. And I think now they're probably like, Dad, you don't have to go to all of them. It's okay.
Like, Dad, stay home for this one, all right?
Just you like, know, you, no, Dad, yeah. I don't want you to chaperone the school dance. Like, can you just drop me off and come back and get me? I understand that they asked for volunteers, but it would be great if you weren't here, kind of thing.
And see, dude, this is a great, I think this is great to have on the podcast, right? Like, you know, the whole podcast is about the life and times of the blue collar men and women. And here you are, you're still blue collar. You always will be, even if you don't do that anymore. But like, you know, like you've been there, you know what it's like. Right. And this is what I love. I love seeing guys finding a way out, right. Finding a way out to be with, you know, their family and miss. And after years of missing everything that they had to, finally getting to experience it. Right. And your kids are still fairly young for the most part.
Yeah, where, for the most know, part, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, dude. I love that.
It is. It's really fun, dude, and I'm enjoying all of it. I think, you know, the biggest thing that I can take away from it is you learn what matters the most. Like, doing this from a blue-collar way to where, you know, money was struggling. You put in the extra hours. You do what you got to do. You always try to get that overtime. You make sure that your kids don't go without, but you may not always be there to enjoy it. Being, you know, taking that mindset, and when you start working for yourself, being able to understand, like, the respect for money and how, you know, man, there were times where we were struggling. And there, we still have days where it's like, man, we gotta be a little bit frugal here because don't know when this is gonna end. But being able to see that and be able to still have those core values and push as hard as we can to do the extra stuff. You know, there's days where it's like, all right, we gotta go out here and hustle. Like, you gotta go out and make this happen because nobody's making it for you. That's, you know, you used to laugh all the time when you'd be like, I don't even understand why I'm at work because, like, we ain't got no work to do. And, yeah. And now you're like, oh, wait, hold on a second. Like, we don't have any work to do. I need to find a way to make us some work to do.
Absolutely.
And it's a hustle. It's a grind. But, man, it's nice to be able to do it. I try to go back and look at a lot of the videos I posted prior to being able to work for myself. And I'm like, man, I looked exhausted. Oh, it's because I worked 7 days in a row to be able to enjoy being able to do this. Or, man, I worked, you know, a whole year of overtime just to be able to make sure that we had a cushion. And, dude, I think it's one of those things I try to tell people when people ask. I'm like, you got to find what you want to do and just put that energy into it, man. It really does one of those things. And ain't nobody, you know, ain't nobody out here driving Mercedes or anything like that or Lambos, man. It just, that money comes in somewhere else. It's amazing when you focus the energy that you are afraid of focusing on what you want to focus on. When you focus that energy towards it, it's there. I did a video and it popped up on, I think, my Facebook, but it was like, don't give 100% of yourself to something that's not given 100% to you. It was Damn. the quote that I said in the video, and it's, I'm done giving 100% of myself to a company that's not willing to give 100% to me. And I heard that a couple of days ago, and I'm like, man, it takes a little bit to get there. But once you can get that mindset of, I'll be tired at work, I'm going to focus on the things that matter. It's just, it's life changing, man. And I'm enjoying it. I'm trying to, and it could, you know, it could end tomorrow and I got no problem with it ending tomorrow. If it ends tomorrow, I'll be more than happy to go back to doing what I did. I'd much rather fail at something that I want to do than fail at something that I never wanted to do in the first place.
Hell yeah. So, like I said, we're live. There's four people watching right now, and I don't know if you can see the comments.
Unfortunately, I can't, Jesse, so read them out to me.
Jesse Dustin Robert said, I'm back, had to make a connection, making hole. It means he's drilling. He's a driller in the oil patch, and he's drilling. I think that's Jesse Gardner. He's actually a really talented singer from the Alberta oil field here, and he's going to be on the podcast. We've been trying to make time for that over the course of months here, and we're getting closer and closer to it happening, right? Every time we talk, he's like, well, hey, you know, like, you, yeah, that's, yeah. He said, you betcha that's me. And we're getting closer and closer to making that podcast happen, man. It's going to be a good one because he has incredible music. You can, it's on Apple Music. You can find his music all over the place, man. I think one of my favorite songs is about his grandfather who passed away. Never That Far Apart, it's called. He's got a tattoo of something his grandfather and him shared. And it's like, you know, they're never that far apart, right? Because he's got the tattoo, right? So, yeah.
So that's Jesse Gardner. All right. I'm going to go check that out because, dude, I love the amazing amount of talent that is in the blue collar world.
Like, it's incredible.
It really is. And it's something that doesn't get, you know, when you're out there trying to take care of your family, trying to make money for your family, you don't always get to focus on your hopes and dreams. And it's one of those things, like, every time I see a Dick Frost video, I'm like, man, that makes me giggle. Cause I know this man's trying to go out here and hustle and make it happen. And when I hear guys that are out there that are musicians and stuff like that, it's just, it's awesome to hear it. And then you want to support it, man. I mean, that's the biggest thing. People ask all the time, well, you know, what can I do to support it? Freaking go like it, go share it, go listen to a song, download a song. You know, it's kind of the way I tell people about the stickers and the merch. I'm like, man, you want to support it? Go cop somebody's merch. Like Frost has got merch. Go check out his stuff. That's a way that you can help support somebody trying to do and follow their dreams, man.
I mean, also, when you purchase the Dirty Hands Clean Money gear and you use my code now, Frost10, you know, links in bio, I also get a kickback from that, right? So, you know, that's a good way to help too, right? Same with the glasses I wear, you know. When you use the code Frost8910, you save yourself 10% on the glasses. And we're just growing and growing and growing from there, you know. And you know, I find that, you know, in the months where, you know, my wife, she doesn't want to be too incredibly busy, you know, she's got kids to chase around, busy around the house. I don't push my merch. I just let her chill, you know, because she makes all mine too. So, you know, the months where, you know, we're trying to like maybe take a chill, I push this a lot, right? And that I make money that way. So, you know, you gotta constantly keep your hands in the fire, right? On the iron. I don't know. You gotta keep your hands on the pie. I don't know, American pie? Oh, episode 69. We're doing things with pies. Good Lord.
Wow. We took a turn there. I think it's really one of those things, man. And I say it a lot. Like, we all know that money don't money the way it used to. And again, like I say it all the time, if you're not trying to help yourself, then what are you doing? Yep. You know, I've had people from the blue collar world come in my comments and they're like, oh, well, you just sold out because now you've got this. Now you've, you know, you've got that and you've changed. I'm like, man, it's not selling out. Like, yes. Do I have a company that I sell sunglasses with? Absolutely. Do they want me to push it? Yeah. You use my promo code. And do I make money off of every time they sell it? Yeah, I do. Is that selling out, or is that like, what is that? You know,
that, no, man, me, that's just helping you and your family, man. You know,
like, it's another way to hustle and try to help my family. You know, that's really it. Like, I think, you know, I think for me, you will always, this is going to be one of those sound bites that might come back and get me. I love the opinion of people who did not do the work being upset for the rewards that they did not earn.
Shit.
Yes. Man,
I just had a conversation with a guy in the comments section on Facebook yesterday. He was trolling me pretty hard, right? And he's like, well, I'm only commenting hateful comments on here because while I'm at work all the time, all I do is see your posts. you know, it looks like you're posting more than you're working. And I'm like, I love how you see 20-second long posts and think out of my 12-hour day, that 20 seconds defined it. But here you are complaining about me making content as you sit there scrolling through content, liking it for 8 hours, right? You just spent 8 hours scrolling through content. You found mine and you're like, oh, I don't like this because you're at work and you're making it. You're sitting at work watching it. What the fuck's the big deal, right? You know, like my 20 seconds of making it, you know, I probably took less time to make, post, and put out there than you've spent watching. So, you know, and he got real hateful in the comments and started like commenting. And stuff like that. And I was like, brother, you do realize on this app I'm monetized. You can comment all day long. I will comment back because you are paying me right now, right?
And it's one of those things that, like, you know, God bless things like this. And a lot of people get, you know, get in their feelings about it, whatever. You know, for me, man, I'm so glad that there are platforms that allow monetization and that allow guys to come out here and... Why are you upset that somebody's trying to do something else to make some money? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're trying to better our family, man. Maybe you don't have the talent. Maybe you don't have the gumption. Maybe you don't have the drive. Maybe you don't see the amount of commitment that comes into it. Like, you know, that the jealousy thing and that envy is not a good color, man. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I make my content. I write my jokes. So many of mine, you know, I look back at years ago and I'm like, man, I remember being at that job site making that video on break. Why am I sweating in that video? Oh, it's because I got to sit in my truck for 15 minutes. Why I scarfed down this lunch and told a joke about the stuff that was happening that day. And then we're going to go back out here. We're going to lay some concrete and then we're going to go back out here and weld. So I'm glad that you saw the 2-minute video that I got to post. You know, as I'm on the phone with, you know, my family that I'm not seeing and hanging out with my, you know, hanging out with the guys who are also not seeing their family. So instead of sitting around and watching ESPN or whatever, I make a video and post it. I'm glad it went, you know, I'm glad it went well. But this idea that somehow, some way it drives me nuts, man. Envy is a bad color on people. And that's why I love guys like you were just talking about and, you know, the guys that are out here, they take the time in their life. They're out there hustling. They're out there making money. They're working blue collar trades and they're going, I don't want to do this forever. So I'm going to focus on what I want to be able to do, you know? And then y'all ask what to do, man, support it. You see a guy like Frost or myself or the musician or any of these guys, Brian Andrews, any of these guys that are out here trying to make it work for themselves. Why are you upset that there's somebody out there chasing their dream? None of us ever signed up and said, man, I want to work the oil field. Or, man, I want to be a steel miller. Or I want to work in a factory. None of us. On career day when we were in kindergarten, ain't none of us ever say, I want to do this.
What did you say you wanted to do on career day? Like, where was your head at back in, like, fucking 7th or 8th grade?
Oh, fucking WWE champion, brother. I wanted to be a professional wrestler.
Buddy, I just listened to you. I just listened to History of the 90s podcast on Owen Hart.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. I had no idea. Like, you know, all the story behind that, you know, of course, I've heard of Owen Hart and his tragic passing and stuff like that. But I had no idea about, like, where he came from. Dude's only from 3 hours down the road from where I live, man. Like, he grew up there in poverty with his father. Yeah. Well, his father grew up in poverty. His father got them out of poverty.
Yes.
So... yeah, his their whole family's from there, man, in Calgary, Alberta. And man, just listening to the incredible story from the beginning to the end was just insane. And how they allowed that match to just continue and go on, and even to this day, Martha Hart refuses the WWE to allow Owen Hart to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because she does not want that man or that organization to profit off of him anymore.
Yep.
Right. And Bret Hart is a little upset about it because he doesn't think that his legacy should be forgotten. But dude, like, it's the age of the internet. People want to know about someone. They're going to Google it. They're going to look at videos. Oh, yeah. They're going to look at the Google the shit out of whoever they have to Google to find out their information, right?
Now, that Owen Hart situation, like, that's, you know, God, it's a tragic, tragic, tragic thing. And you know, I don't think you need to be put in a Hall of Fame to be a Hall of Fame stand-up person. And that's, you know, that's what I absolutely love about listening to anything about Owen Hart is just stand-up dad, stand-up freaking dude, amazing. Like, just the, you hear the story about the wrestlers going out there to party and doing all this stuff. Not him, man. Any chance he had, he was trying to get back to the family, get back to the kids. Like, just taken from this world way too soon. But just,
every wrestler said that too. You hear, I think Hulk Hogan said it, and The Rock said it. You hear the story of the wrestling world of the men cheating on their wives and getting into drugs and stuff. Not Owen Hart. He was like one of the only ones who was just like, "Hey, man, I can't. I gotta go. I got someone that's waiting for me. You know, I got people that are waiting for me.
I got, you know." And you hear the stories of, you know, he's flying 12 hours, then driving 6 hours to only be able to spend the night and see his kids for 4 hours and then go and do it again the next day. And it's like, I mean, that if that ain't the blue collar hustle, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Work those 18-hour shifts to be able to go and just sleep in the bed next to your wife, eat dinner with your kids and be gone the next morning. You know,
I've done that a few times, man. I've done that. You know, I've had it where, hey, you know, I can either, I'm passing right through home, but I got to be on site tomorrow morning by, 6 o'clock in the morning, right? And it's like, well, I can either pass through, stop in, say hi, have a bite to eat, and then leave, or I can just continue on leaving and get a good night's rest. Well, I'm passing through. I might as well stop in, and I might as well, you know, kiss the wife a little bit. You know, see the kids, have a little bite to eat, and then maybe even spend the night a couple hours. I did that about a month or so back. I had to be, I can't remember how that happened. I had to leave at 2 a.m. though. That's right. I had to make an airport run. I had to go grab someone. I had to drop a couple people off at the airport is what it was. And I didn't get into town till 10 o'clock at night. So I was like, okay, I had to be on site at 6 a.m. the next morning. And I'm like, okay, well, all right. So I got back to my house. It was like 10:30, 10:45. My kids were already asleep. I got to have some, you know, adult time with the missus. We got to have some ice cream and cake and make our own baby batter, you know, episode 69, you know. Tooking down for 69. I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I raced back in a snowstorm. I didn't know it was going to snow. I ended up being a snowstorm and I raced the 3.5 hours back in a snowstorm. And I made it back to the shop with 15 minutes to spare. I had a little nap in the truck.
Yeah.
Everyone came. We got in the truck, drove to site. And turns out we weren't needed until noon. We sat on site until noon before they even needed us.
But I mean, that's that blue collar father sacrifice, man. I mean, it's not always easy. Yeah, that's, you know, one of my least favorite words is "that must be nice." I hate that phrase. Yeah. I hate listening to people say it, especially, again, it goes back to people that didn't do the work complaining about, you know, the reward they did not earn. But like, yeah, you know, it is nice. It is nice to see the fruits of my labor. Would you like to see what it took to do all of this? Like,
yep. No. Well, look at right now. Perfect example. I'm recording the podcast in probably one of the most comfortable places I've ever recorded this podcast. I just bought this brand new couch that I'm sitting on. My tax refund actually bought this couch. It's a $3,500 couch. I got it on sale for 60% off. It is beautiful. It's a beautiful couch, man. I'm just sitting here chilling. You know, I'm enjoying it. You know, it's a comfortable place to sit and do the podcast. It's a pull-out couch. My sister's visiting right now, so she's currently sleeping on it. So
it is one of those things, man. I mean, we just got back from the beach and like we went to the beach for 2 days and I hear people, you know, I see it in the comments, man, it must be nice. And I'm like, dude, I don't think you understand. We didn't leave the house for 2 weeks to be able to do this. We, you know, we work around the clock to be able to make this happen. And yes, if I have the opportunity to go and do something with my family, yeah, I'm going to take it. Like,
Where'd you guys go?
We just went to Myrtle. I mean, Myrtle for us, Myrtle Beach for us is like, what, 2.5, maybe 3 hours tops. And it was one of those things, like, my wife runs the business. So everything that you see that we make, everything, like Mr. Frost's hat there, she's designed all this. She's puts the work in for it. So we are not drop shipping something. We're not buying a bulk stuff and reselling anything. Everything's made here in-house. So from the design process to it going into the envelope that shows up at your house is here. We're the ones doing it. So it had been a week, like to say the least. It had been a week. And she, you know, the rule of three with your wife, she can say it once, you don't have to pay attention. She says it twice, you might want to pay attention, because by the third time, you're going. And that was what it was. She had said, she is like, man, I really need a break. And then it was, man, I really want to go to the beach. And then it was, hey, this weekend, let's go to the beach. And I'm like, let's go. Like, I'm not going to. And that's the thing about it. Like, a lot of people can get in the comments and be like, must be nice. Man, yes, the reward part of it's nice. The hard work that goes into being able to pay for the couch or the trip or anything like that, that's not nice at all. The 18-hour days, the waking up at, 4 o'clock in the morning to finish the orders that need to go out at 8 o'clock in the morning, but you've worked till 2 o'clock in the morning and you're ready to go to bed, that 2-hour cat nap so that you can go back into it and keep working. I mean, that's what the mindset is, man. It's what the hustle is. It never stops. You got to do what you got to do. And then when you can do it, you do it.
Bryce Dunker in the comments says, respect the hustle, boys. Appreciate exactly. that. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you. I mean, that's the thing. You got to. I mean, if it's when it was blue collar stuff, it was taking an extra shift. It was not being a gopher, but being the guy who goes, you can sit and complain about being broke, or you can go do something about it. So,
yep. That's exactly what I say a lot. You know, like, why don't you complain too much when you're at work? Why don't you whine about it? I can whine about it, or I can just go and do it. Either way, You know, someone's getting paid to do it. I could decline it and whine about it, or I could just go do it. Either way, someone's getting that money, right? I might as well be the guy that gets that money.
And that's that's always been the mindset I have. And maybe it's the way that you and I were brought up, like, we did not get mommy and daddy money. I know you didn't get mommy and daddy money. I got mommy and daddy work ethic, that if you don't go to work, you know, it's not mommy and daddy money. It's if you don't go to work, there's not going to be any money. Like, yeah. So for me, it's that hustle. Now, I mean, I understand that not all money is good money. Like, you can definitely admit I've done a lot of things that I probably should have gotten paid a lot more for, but I did it for pennies on the dollar because I needed that money. But you hustle to make it work, man. I mean, that's it. I think that's one of the things I talk about with the generation of people coming into the workforce now. Like, you're not entitled to anything. Nobody owes you anything. And again, if you're going to sit and complain about the system being broken and wait for the system to be the one that fixes it, you're only failing yourself.
Yep.
We can both admit America and north of the border, my Canadian brothers, system ain't going to try to fix it.
Yeah.
System is doing just fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
The system is being paid very well, and they're doing just fine. If you want to fix anything in your life, you've got to go try to fix it yourself.
Speaking of, doing the blue collar hustle and, making that money and not complaining about it. And this being episode 69, I don't know. The last time we talked, did you hear about my offer I got from our friends in the rainbow colored brigade? I'm not afraid to say it. I don't give a shit. My gay friends, you know what I mean? I got lots of gay dudes on the internet that love me. You know, they think I'm cute. They love the blue collar stuff. They love the mustache.
It's the mustache. It's a big hit amongst the gays. Brother.
What's that?
It's the mustache.
It is the mustache. The gays love the mustache. Did you hear about the offer?
I'm gonna assume that it's probably the same kind of offer I get. Does somebody want you to start a spicy account?
Well, no. He wanted to know if I had one, and okay. I said no. And then he's like, "Well, how much for some videos of, for my private collection. And he offered me $100. And I said, maybe $1,000. And he said, that's a lot, but okay. And I was like, oh, damn. All right. So
did, is that how you paid for the couch? Is this where you're trying to tell everybody about your account now?
No. So that video, that content that I made for my friend, that paid for my dishwasher, my new dishwasher.
Even better. Even better. A little spicy spice.
So he wanted me to moan his name. He wanted me to be in coveralls. He wanted to in a porta potty, which, hey man, I'm already doing this shit for free, you know. Like he underestimates my willingness to do this in a porta potty, bro. Because trust me, like when nature calls, we've all been there, you know. And he wants me to do it in work trucks, right? So I said to my boss, I'm like, hey, you know what? This is a good opportunity to ask for a raise. And I sent him the screenshot, and he's like, not a chance. And I'm like, well, either you're paying me or he is. And if you don't pay me, the trucks, all the crew trucks about to get a little sticky. Right. And he just laughs. And I'm like, he thinks I'm not being serious.
Yeah. Bro, $20 is $20. You do you, boo. You do what you got to do.
So he paid me $1,000. And then he threw a $400 tip on top of that.
You got you got $1,400.
He gave me $1,400, man, to play with what I usually play with for free. My favorite toy.
I'm going to let you know, Mrs. McGahat Comedy is sitting in the room with me, and she's like, $1,400 is $1,400. You know, I might be in the wrong business. I'm not going to lie.
I've had
I'm proud of many, you, by the way. Many, ain't no many, shame in that game, brother. Ain't no shame in that game.
None, man. You know, it's whatever, dude. I'm helping out my family.
You're helping family, and you're helping out your family. That's it. You're a good, you know what? There's a judgment-free zone.
We're both going to the bank, you know?
Different ones, but it's okay.
You know? Different banks. But so a lot of people are like, you aren't afraid if he uses your face or anything like that? Like, I'm like, hell no, man. Like, people are going to look at that and be like, well, shit, man. Like, I got money too, you know? And dude, I've already had a bunch of those people ask me, you know, like, how much for this? How much for that? And dude, let me tell you, if I keep this up, if I open this door, if I open Pandora's box, I ain't gonna be working this time next year.
Well, I'm proud of you. I listened to somebody say it the other day, and here's my hot take on the spicy accounts. I listened to a female creator say it the other day, and she's like, "People are gonna do gross stuff to my profile picture anyway. I might as well get paid."
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, dude, you do you. Whatever you want to do is good. I'm going to be honest. The older I get, the more I don't even like seeing myself with clothes off. So I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do this because mostly for me, I don't want to do this because I look at it and I kind of have to pep it up to be able to do it myself sometimes. I'm like, hey, buddy, come on. We've got a thing going. So,
yeah,
dude, I'm proud of you. That's a nice couch, by the way.
Buddy, dude, thanks, man. It's long, and it goes this way a bunch, and like, dude, it pulls out, unlike myself, you know?
I knew that one was coming with episode.
All baby right, number three coming soon on this couch, bud.
Baby number three coming soon? All right, there you go.
As soon as my sister goes home, we've already planned to use this couch, you know? Like, it's a nice couch.
It's nice. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Two can dine, my friend. Two can dine.
Two can dine on episodes. I'm proud of you, by the way.
Two can dine on episode 69. Here we go. Anyone listening, guys, this is episode 69. Like, we've made it 69 episodes in. This is mind-boggling to me. We are 31 episodes away from 100. We are closer to 100 than we are to 50 now. Well, wait. No. No, we're not. I'm sorry, I did math properly there.
You didn't math that math out, though. But you know what? I think we're closer to 100 than we were last week.
We're closer to 100 than we are to episode one.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
Something like that.
So speaking of which, I usually ask, you know, if you know what viscosity is, but you know what viscosity is. We're getting to that point of the show. The podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, right? The Mudman deals with viscosity, you know, in viscosity on the drilling rigs. You know, he tries to see how thick that shit is down hole, you know, how thick his load has to be, you know, and hey, you know, the Mudman, you know, www.mudmarket.com and the Mudman, he's got your back and your front. And the Mudman's there for all your drilling fluid and laboratory testing equipment needs. Check out the Mudman and check him out because, you know, he only cares about the thickness of your load.
It is good mud. Good thick load mud is what it is.
Good thick load mud. Yep. Good thick load mud. I'm back on my zinc, by the way. I stopped taking zinc for a little while, but
yeah,
I'm back on my zinc. Yeah, zinc makes men have larger balls.
Viscosity.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Zinc increases the viscosity of a man's boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're in your mid-30s and you're listening to this for the very first time, you're already at your capacity for your life. Men in their mid-30s will never have bigger loads than they do right now.
That's good for me, I guess, for everybody.
You're there. I'm there.
It happens.
So
I'm just happy that it's still I'm just happy it still works every now and then. You know, that's principally it.
Every time she touches me and I manage to get excited, I'm still like blown away. I'm just like, damn, girl, like, how come that don't work for me? I gotta, like, play with it for a while, you know? Like, maybe it's the man hands and the calluses and stuff.
It's probably the callus, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
Callus. It might be the callus. Yeah. Might be the lack of a port-a-john. I mean, you never know.
Might be the lack of the port-a-john. Hey, dude, you just never know why it doesn't, you know, like, get excited. But, like, whenever I start, it takes a while, you know? She just touches the inside of my leg or even the leg. And it's like, are you serious? Are we doing this? Because if we're not doing this, you better get your hand away from there right now.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's like my favorite American poet Robert Frost said, "Don't start no shit. There won't be no shit." All right.
Oh so, shit.
That's Robert Frost. Bob Frost, by the way.
Bob Frost.
Yeah, Book of Poems.
All right. So you said something about your comedy a few minutes ago.
Oh, goodness.
How is the comedy going? You know, last time we talked, you know, you were trying to look into booking more shows and whatnot. And so how is that going? Are we closer? Are we, you know,
making things happen? We are going to ask the missus a question real quick, live on air. Are we allowed to talk about the things and the things? Yeah. Okay.
And about
the events. So, yes, I had to make sure that we were, like, legally good because we left somebody to go to somebody else kind of thing. So okay. I had to get the legal approval. It is good. We are partnered up with a talent agency that she represents a lot of really cool people and does a lot of really good events. And this is opening up some opportunities for me to MC and host a lot of events, a lot of music festival kind of things, maybe in the works. We do have a very big event going on May the 4th in Laurinburg, North Carolina.
Shout out to Star Wars Days.
Huh?
Shout out to Star Wars Days.
Star Wars Day all day long. May the 4th. It's a Saturday. It's in Laurinburg, North Carolina. Now, we're raising money for a children's advocacy center, which helps victims of crimes get the help that they need. A lot of people are like, what does that mean? So it's exactly what it means in the title of what it is. It's an advocate for children. So a lot of the times the bad guy goes away, right? Bad guy does something bad. Bad guy goes away. Where do we go with the victims of those crimes? Like what happens after? Well, that's what this center comes in and does. It's a voice for the voiceless. So we're having a huge event May the 4th. There's going to be myself, a lot of other comedians are going to be out there, live music from Lenny Cooper, Sean Paris, Macy Nicole, like a lot of really cool North Carolina local people are going to be out here as well. And that's going to be one of the first ones that I get to do. And then we've got some other stuff. I'm trying to hit a couple little open mic things here and there to kind of get my feet wet. But having an advocate for me, it has been great because I don't know enough about the comedy scene because it's changed so much since the last time I did stand-up was before COVID. So to be able to have somebody to do those calls for us, because, you know, not to sound braggadocious, because I never want to sound that way, but like, I do have a little bit of a name for myself, right? Like, we got a million plus followers here on the old TikTok. We're almost at 500,000 on Facebook. We're rocking on Instagram. People know who I am, I guess. It throws me off anytime I'm at dinner and somebody wants to come. We had it happen last night. I was sitting eating dinner and this guy came and tapped me on the shoulder. He was like, are you Grayson McGahad? I'm like, I am. He's like, oh my, can I get a picture? And I'm like, it still blows my mind that there are people who watch what I do, let alone people who watch what I do and actually give a damn about it. So, and because I still look at it that way, it's nice to have somebody who sees the value in what I do and can show that value to the people who I want to be able to do stuff with. Like, so the stand-up stuff's going well, and we're trying to do more of it. We're trying to get out there. We got a great great representation now. This lady's name is Casey. She's our booking agent, and she's
is that my wife?
Mm.
No,
she calls me for other things.
Oh,
but,
you don't.
There you go. I know. I got to pick on you a little bit. But no, her name's Casey. She runs a company called Eight Lug Circus. Great people. And it's all about finding the right representation. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, my comedy of the blue collar stuff's not going to go over at certain places, right? Like, it's not going to work. So you gotta be with the right people, and she's got a way to get me in front of the people that want to see it. So,
yep.
You know, it's good, and I'm hoping to be able to do more. It's an exciting extra step. So I got some events coming up, and hopefully more stuff is going to get booked up. I mean, I don't know if you guys are still covered in snow, because every other day I talk to you guys, it's hit or miss, but it's finally warming up down here, and people are wanting to go out and do more. I think the last couple of years, I mean, even after COVID, I think there were so many people that still were recouping. Like, people didn't want to go out and do stuff because either they financially couldn't, or, you know, it was still, I know in blue collar world, we never got to stop. So
yep.
It was a lot of people, like a lot of clubs closed. A lot of people have changed their priorities. And for me, like trying to break into the comedy scene, like there's a level of both. There's a level of, hey man, you got a lot of following and things like that. Where can we get you to where people can come see you? And then it's, you know, well, what are you even going to do on stage? Because you got videos, you do videos. How are you going to do this? So it's a lot of people forget that I did this for a long time before I started shooting videos. So it's exciting, man. I think there's going to be some new stuff coming, and we're still hoping to be able to record, you know, 30 minutes to an hour special and get that out there hopefully by the end of the year. We're going to see what happens. A lot
You're
of
get it on Netflix or what?
Not yet. I mean, fingers crossed. If Netflix wants it, I promise I'll sell it to them damn cheap. But
go to Amazon Prime first.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, it will be self-funded if we do it anyway at all. Like, I want to get the stuff out there so that people can see this is who Grayson McGahad is as a comedian, and this is what he does. This is why he does what he does. And so I want to get it out there. I think, you know, I have a lot of videos of me on stage. And you know, when you start trying to get on stages, it's got to be the right thing. Like, I'm not going to go over well at a coffee house that doesn't know that we're doing comedy, right? Like,
yeah,
you're not going to turn the TV off or anything like this. So it's hit or miss, man. The comedy scene, again, not complaining about it, but it's so hit or miss about like what's going to work and what's not going to work.
Yep.
Sorry. Oh, yeah, work never stops. So shout out to Mrs. McGaha Comedy for doing all my work while I'm over here supposed to be working.
To answer your question, Canada, or where I am anyway, is on its 10th winter.
Yeah.
We're at 10 winters now. The snow has melted, but it snowed the other day. It was a big blizzard. But it has melted now. It's going to be 19 degrees Celsius here in, 2 days, I guess. I don't know what that is Fahrenheit, but it's warm. It's warm.
Okay, 20 degrees
Fahrenheit or 20 degrees Celsius. It's got to be like 60 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's nice. That's perfect
weather. It's beautiful. Yeah, man, we're getting there. We're warming up. We got some rain on the way, which we need. The water level's pretty low. Fire season is upon us.
Yeah.
You know, shit's going to start. It's already started. There's 50 wildfires right now burning where we're at. One of them was out of control, but I think it might be in control now, or they might have control of it. Yeah, man, it's been a pretty chill winter for the most part. We had a little bit of a cold snap here and there, but not too bad. And the water level's so low, they're advising people down south right now to try to watch their shower time, right? Try, don't have a long shower. They're talking about, you know, maybe, you know, fracking and the rigs. Try not to use so much water somehow. I don't know how that would work. Yeah. I just drink it, right? But if I have to drink my own urine, I will. So.
No, really? I think you're going to be okay.
But oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With all that $1,400 you're making off of, you know, I think you're going to be just fine, big money over there. But
hey, man, dude, at the Super Bowl, he sent me a picture of him and his 10 buddies. Him and his boyfriend and his 10 buddies. And he sent me a picture, and I'm like, which one of those guys got deep pockets? Because I got more in the bank, you know? And he's like, well, we're all watching, we're having a Super Bowl party, and we're not watching it for the football.
Right? Oh,
and I'm like, damn, son. You know, like, good for you guys.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, that's lovely.
I wish I could watch sports and be turned on by what's happening, you know? Like, you know?
Maybe you're just watching the wrong sports, man.
Maybe I need to be watching men's curling. I don't know. Maybe
men's curling
get my rocks off.
Men's curling is getting rocks down the field, so, or the ice. So I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. Man, you never know, brother. I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. Like, legitimately, you know.
Oh, yeah, buddy, that's it. There are a lot of strokes for a lot of folks. I can tell you that much. I've never been hit on so much by other men in the last 4 years than I have, like, you know, ever. Like, you know, like, the last 4 years have been absolutely insane. You know, like, it's wild to me.
You work in the oil field. Don't lie. You get hit
that's
on
fair.
A daily basis.
That's fair. But those men aren't really going to do anything. These men really, really want to, like, which really concerns me. My brother's gay, right? So, like, you know, like, is it incest or what are we looking at here? Like, you know, like, is my brother looking at me like that too now? I don't know.
It's the mustache, brother.
It is. It is. You know, I look at the pictures of his boyfriend and he's got a nice mustache. I can respect a man's nice mustache.
You should be able to. I mean, I definitely, beard envy is a real thing. So
I see that beard and I want to pet it, but like, I don't think about like, I want it like
you don't want to pet it with your face. So
I don't want to pet. Well, maybe. You never know.
Brother, I love you. It's been too long, man. Like I said, I don't get to talk to people the way that I used to, man. So like, I'm so happy to be able to be here on episode 69. I'm enjoying just being able to talk to you and enjoy it, man.
Episode 69. I would have rather had the Tiger King, but like, I will settle for
true statement. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would probably much rather talk to the Tiger King too, dude. That is the part of COVID I miss. Like, can we get back to that part where we all had time to just binge watch the Tiger King and every other Netflix comedy special that came on?
Oh,
like,
my God.
We were like, all, as a society, bonded together for our absolute hatred for Carol Baskins.
That
needs to come back. That needs to be a thing.
Or when Jessica was too old for Mark.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah,
we got to get back to a happier, simpler time.
Shout out to Shoe Bomb.
Exactly. of when grown-up Chucky doll can own a Wave Runner company and that be the coolest motherfucker, you know. So, I mean, there you go.
I just want to know someone with tigers that also wants to, like, get down and dirty with me, you know?
Tigers, for me, like, that... I want that is FU money, is it not? Like, I want to be to the point to where I can have tigers.
You could, like, probably have some tigers. I don't think you need FU money. I think you just need to go steal baby tiger. Two baby tigers.
Two baby tigers, and that's it, you know?
Then you're well on your way to... Imagine stealing two male baby tigers, and then you end up somehow with a third tiger.
I'm still fighting for chickens and ducks, so I don't know if I'm going to get a tiger, but, you know, it's going to happen.
Oh, speaking of animals, and I haven't talked to you in a few months, I am getting a baby goat, and they call them fainting goats. You can have them as pets in the city, and apparently if they don't faint, it's not real, and the fainting goats are worth a lot. And, like, but you got to watch them because, like, they're high stress, and they really faint. My youngest daughter, would probably give this thing a heart attack. It would probably send it to a whole new level.
I'm still hoping for chickens and ducks, maybe rabbits. I don't know. You know, for as bougie as we can be, there's a level of me that, like, I want to be like Highland cow bougie.
My wife wants a Highland cow.
My wife wants a miniature Highland cow. I told her we could get a stuffed animal. Like, it's the same thing, because it's going to get the same amount of love and attention as the real Highland cow that she wants. But, you know, for me, I say she wants it. Truthfully, I'm the one who's, like, gunning for chickens and ducks. Only so that I can name them things, man. Like, I think that there's so many chicken puns out there that can be made. And if you're going to have chickens, you have to name them something really cool.
Like RoboCop.
Yeah, or like Dolly Part Hen.
Oh, shit.
I know, dude. Oh, dude, there's a list of them.
Oh, RoboCock.
There you go. There's a list of them, dude.
Yes. Oh, my God, bro. Like, oh, we could have so much fun. Like, what are some more names that we could give?
If you don't have Han Solo and Princess Leia, then what are you even doing? Like,
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck, exactly.
Darkwing Duck. Oh my God. Oh my God. What's another one? Oh my God. Han Solo, though, that just fucked me right up, dude. Like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, this has been an ongoing subject of discussion here at the house for a while.
Oh my God. Darth Lair. So, speaking of the Star Wars things, and going back to like an hour ago when you said, you know, we had some good blue collar ladies on to represent, and you've listened to some episodes. How caught up are you on the episodes? Where are you at?
With you?
Yeah.
Probably way behind.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, dude. My days are like lost. No.
It's cool. I understand that I'm at the bottom of your list. That's all I understand.
You're not
cool.
On the bottom of my list. My list is just, I don't want to sound like, dude, I very rarely have time to do much of the anything that I would like to be able to do.
I hear you, brother.
Like, there is no bottom of the list. There is no top of the list. There is only a list of things that I would like to try to accomplish. And only so many hours in the day.
I'd like to be on the list of things you need to do.
You know what? I might try to pencil you in, but I don't have $1,400. I'm not gonna
not pencil me in. Pin me down. Whoa!
Whoa!
Episode 69, getting out of hand.
Getting out of hand.
So, if I could suggest an episode, a really good one, It'd be Woman in Trades with Jess the Carpentress. My God, what an incredible, like,
now,
and what made me think of her now is that, you know, at the beginning of the episode, before we went in, I asked her what she was smoking, because there was smoke. And she's like, no, that's my incense going off beside me. I'm like, all right, what flavor? She said, dark cinnamon. And then I said, that would make a great stripper name for you. And then that was sort of like the behind the scenes joke for the whole episode. Dark cinnamon. And nobody knew because we didn't get that part on the episode, right? So, like, it was, what an incredible episode. I don't know if you've ever seen Jess the Carpentress.
Right? See, here's the thing. I don't ever get to listen to the podcast the way I want to, but I do follow you on all socials. So when you clip it up and I see it, I'm down all day long. I do remember.
I see you tapping the like button.
I tap that like button in there for you. I love you, brother. Oh, dude. Like, now you've got me thinking of, like, you know, stripper names used to be names of things that were expensive. Right?
Yeah. Mercedes.
Like, you used to have like Mercedes or diamonds. Yep. I mean, in the economy we're in now, I think we're going to have like gas and groceries coming up here soon. Like rent. Coming up to the main stage, it's eggs.
Man, that could get really, really runny.
Oh, it could. It could.
Yeah.
Depending on where it goes, it could be bad. Like, all right, she's in the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for gas.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't pay enough, you might get evicted. Give it up for rent.
Give it up for rent.
Yep. Yeah, man.
Paying her child support off of your child support. Give it up for Pampers.
Oh.
I know.
The crowd goes wild.
I feel like a stripper named Pampers would definitely get far more tips than anybody else. And gas and groceries would probably be better as well.
Yeah. Man, when I say this couch is comfortable, man, and it smells so good. God, before I make a mess of this couch and it doesn't smell like this anymore, it smells like new furniture.
You need to make sure you keep the plastic on that couch.
No, it's already come off. My sister's been sleeping on it, right? Oh, I can't wait for her. She leaves tomorrow. She flies out tomorrow. When she flies out, we're putting the kid down for an afternoon nap. I don't know if she does that anymore, but there might be some like NyQuil or some gravel or what's that other shit there?
Benadryl. You're Benadrylling your kids just so that you can do your thing.
It's a Benadryl kind of day tomorrow is what it's going to be. We might get someone else to pick our kid up from school, and we might be, you know, giving the old couch a whirl, buddy.
Do what you gotta do, man. I mean,
hell yeah.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Your little skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight, afternoon delight.
Boo! Afternoon delight. Yeah, absolutely.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna find me a little afternoon delight.
My motto's always been, when it's right, while waiting to the middle of a cold, dark night, when you know the love
and see the light of day.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
that needs to be clipped up, absolutely. That right there is that's it right there. That's the money. For this podcast, that's going to be the opening of it right here. That needs to be, what are they called? That needs to be the thumbnail for this one right here.
Oh, buddy. I want to put my thumb somewhere.
That's how you hit the high notes.
That's how
you hit the high notes.
That's how you get the high notes there, brother. Shit. So, I don't want to keep you too long. You know, it's pushing 10:30 there, and you know, I'm also gonna, you know.
You got people that you got to go do your people in with.
I got to go do my people in with them, you know, and I haven't gone live as much as I've wanted to in the last few months. I haven't even really been able to put out much content lately. I've been reposting old shit, and you know, like I said, just struggling to even put out this episode, really. And, you know, just been busy. And I think we're coming to the end of that busy period where we're tapering off a little bit, right? So we're gonna relax, we're gonna breathe, we're gonna collect our thoughts. You know, the hypothetical gas, the take your, I can't really say that anymore. I was gonna say the hypothetical knee is coming off the neck, but we can't say that anymore. Like, take the throttle. We're taking the foot off the throttle a little bit.
Yes, that's a nice way to say what you were trying to fucking say.
Yeah,
we're taking the foot off the throttle.
We're
coming to a stopping point. We're slowing down. All better fucking things to say. Oh my god.
Hey man, you know, like, sometimes when you're, I was panicking. Leave me alone, all right? Like,
something like that. Something like that.
Brother, I want to ask
you. Mount Rushmore?
That, yeah, okay. Well, hey, has your Mount Rushmore changed, you know, for the most influential people in your life, you know? And I've actually learned some stuff about Mount Rushmore in the course of the last few months. That rock was never supposed to be just four people, right? The guy who built it went off to fight in World War II, I believe it was, and his son decided, hey, you know, the rock's not done. But nobody in the succeeding years was epic enough, or I guess, you know, didn't fit the bill to be put on the rock amongst giants, amongst greatness, right? So they left it. So four of the most influential people in your life, and why? And you've already said yours. You can say it again. You could come up with a whole new list if you want.
I feel like that last list was a solid list, but I mean, you know, that so much has changed. I mean, you got to give shout outs where shout outs are due. Totally not because she's sitting across from me. Working for yourself, being home with the people who matter the most. You gotta give a shout out to the wife. Again, not because she's with me, just because the people who motivate you to chase your dreams, the biggest fear in doing any of this is taking that first step, right? That first step is a hell of a step. Some people never take it at all. Some people can take it and then they you know, fall back down. Shout out to her for being the one who I was so worried about taking the step, but her being that rock, and I know Casey's that rock for you, that we're going to be okay. We're going to be fine. So Mrs. McGaha Comedy, the kids, the support system I have, that all of their faces can be etched there. Again, shout out to all the blue collar dads and moms out there that are out there sacrificing everything. So those need to be the people that are etched into it. The people who just don't get the respect and the shout outs that they probably so very much deserve. We're going to put one out there for anybody who is in like any sort of military, public service, police, fire, medic, all those guys that are out there not getting paid what they deserve to make to go out there and keep everybody safe. Etch those people on there all day long. And then the forgotten, the people that you got to leave a space open for, the people that come into your life only so that they can help you get to the next level. Those people need to be shouted out all day long as well. The people, I do feel like there are people who come into your life and they're not meant to stay. You know what I mean? They're not meant to stay. They're only there for that point where you need them to be. And they teach you the lesson, good or bad, that you need to learn. So shout out to those people as well, because some lessons are definitely learned the hard way. Some lessons are hands-on lessons, and you got to learn them one way or another. So everybody in your life that comes into your life serves a purpose. Sometimes it's not the purpose you need or even the one you want to learn, but they serve it. So you got to do it. So,
hey, sometimes she goes and sometimes she doesn't, but either way she goes.
Exactly.
Exactly. I got a question for you, actually, man. I meant to ask you earlier, but it's about the TikTok ban thing in the U.S. Like, it looks like, you know, it's moved its way through the House and it's working its way into the Senate now. And like, it is a pretty good chance of it happening in the U.S., right? Like, I think they're so worried about Chinese interference and influence. But look at everything that's tied to the economy of the U.S. is all Chinese based, right? Like, you're worried about all the wrong things. What they, in my opinion, it's information and control of said information. The people are uniting on this app, and we're seeing their lies for what they are. Right, the box is open. They're gonna try to close it. I don't think it's gonna work. You know what I mean? I think we've all seen and heard too much. We know that they don't have our interests at heart. And
I think that's really the catch 22 with it. Here, you know, if we're really gonna talk about like data mining and information mining, I mean, if they want it, they got it. You know what I mean? If they want it, they got it. We all have computers in our pockets. They have more data and more information on it than we use to get to the damn moon.
Yep.
So this idea that an app is making you unsafe or whatever is silly to me. The biggest thing that I don't like about it, not only is it a huge freedom of speech hinderer, it's, you know, look at small businesses and look at how many businesses are on TikTok and how many not the people that are selling the knockoff junk, but the small businesses that are on TikTok that have been able to thrive because of TikTok. And you know, I think for a lot of people, I'm going to say it on my end. If it goes away, am I worried about it? Like, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing one way or another. Like TikTok has been amazing, but TikTok's not going to slow down what I'm trying to do and what I want to do with my life. Like I've got my foot on the throttle, and if TikTok goes away, there will be another app that opens up. I think the sad part about it is the people in power that are claiming to do things in your best interest. They've already told you and they've showed you that clearly it is not your best interest that they're worried about. If we were really trying to keep kids safe and all the other stuff that they want to put behind it, then, well, we would be locking a lot more of these people who hurt kids up and things like that. That is the issue I have about it. There's the idea that we're controlling things and with the idea of freedom being the thought process behind it is the biggest issue I have with it. You know, we're going to keep you safe in the name of freedoms. We're going to keep your freedom safe in the name of freedoms. I don't buy that, but you know, they're going to do what they want to do. I think that one way or another, if they don't get rid of it or if they try to change it or whatever they're going to try to do. I mean, if it goes away, it goes away. I think the biggest thing is you have to keep looking at what you're doing. I mean, if this platform goes away, be ready. And, you know, as a content creator or whatever you want to call yourself, get your stuff, like, you know, have your stuff ready. Don't put all your eggs in one basket either way. And, you know, I post on all socials. I know you post on all socials. And if another one comes up, then I'm going to that one as well. Like it.
Absolutely.
This train's not going to stop because of one app. And
they can't put the genie back in the lamp now.
Yeah, no. And I think that, you know, there's enough people out there who can call BS when it's time for BS to be called that, you know, do they have ultimate power over it and they can get rid of it if they want to? Absolutely. I think the idea that it's, you know, for the reasons that they're saying, man, people are going to say what they're going to say. You know, freedom of speech is one of those things that you can't take away from people. You can silence it somewhere, but they're going to say it somewhere else, you know, and that's really it. You can put your censors on there. And yeah, you know, truthfully, there's a lot of bad information out there too. There's a lot of misinformation. If we're going to try to hinder real information, that's the issue I have an issue with.
Yep. If you let them break the law in the event of an emergency, they'll create an emergency to break the law.
Truthfully, yeah, that's the truth of the matter.
Yep. Well, buddy, hey, this has been, I see you looking over there. I think Mrs. McGaha might be signaling to you. It's go time, baby.
Oh, it's not that signal at all. It's this signal right here is the bat signal we're getting. This is the self-employment signal of time to do some work.
Good for you, buddy. Are you going to go live and do that?
I don't know. We can't. So here's the thing. Like, we make everything in-house, And I don't know if you just caught her say, we're out of, like, out of respect for the podcast and everything we're doing, we can't cut while we're doing this. And since everything is made in house, we can't fire up the old rolling over here and cut stickers while we're on this. Cause it's a full fledged print shop here in the house. When it starts going, it starts going.
Yeah. You've had a week off already, right? So it's,
well, it hasn't been a week. It's only been 2 days, but it's
2 days. Oh, shit.
We legit, like, Friday morning, she was like, hey, we're leaving and going to the beach. And I was like, okay, cool. So we have a TikTok shop. We shut the shop down, put it on vacation mode. We got a website, and we told the people on the website, all your orders will be out on Monday. But, like, now it's like, okay, time to get back to work.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, dude, I really appreciate you guys taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you guys are super busy, and I don't want to keep you too late. You know, fucking, you guys are incredible, and you work hard, and man, I appreciate you coming on, dude. And this has been an amazing episode with the first reoccurring guest we've ever had for episode 69 of the podcast. Oh, all right, can I get a hiya?
Oh, yeah.
All right, I love that. Hey, Grayson, stay frosty, brother.
Well, you stay frosty too, man. Love you, mean it, dude. Go and have fun on your couch. Do whatever you're gonna do and enjoy it and have a good one, man. It's always fun to talk to you, man. Always great doing this. Love you, mean it, man. Truthfully, thank you for all you do, man. And hopefully we can do this again live one time. If I'm gonna be a threefer, would it be trice? I don't know what it would be.
Trice.
If we're going for trice or trace. Trace Podcastos, then then we got to do this shit live, brother.
Hell yeah, man. Well, this is live. Oh, you mean together?
I mean, like, in the same room.
So, yes, I agree with you there. We're working on actually our first, like, live together podcast ever with a guy who actually lives about 10 minutes away from me. I was supposed to do it with him when I was home, but, you know, we've gotten busy. He's busy. I'm busy. The first one will happen, and hopefully, who knows, maybe it'll be with you, brother.
I don't know, man. I hope so. I'm a little bit more than 10 minutes away, but if we can make it happen, we're going to make it happen.
All right, brother. Well, hey, you guys having a great night. Get those orders out for tomorrow morning.
We will, brother.
And you stay frosty. Mrs. Magaha, love you too.
Stay frosty, my friends.
All right, brother.